at times is becoming farcical. And you have to really feel for these players and management. This isn't normal in any shape or form.
For your first chance to hear Brian O'Driscoll on OTB, download the OTB Sports app and turn on your notifications.
OTB AM with Gillette. Put your best face forward with our new and improved razors.
Yeah, 4-0, that's how it finished in our beautiful, beautiful blue jerseys with the amazing crest. What's that face for, Kenny?
No, I agree with you.
You do? Oh, you. Finally.
I thought you'd come up with a better adjective than beautiful. Like, I was waiting for the big punch.
That's it.
It was a bit underwhelming, right?
What would you have gone for?
It was punchy, though, the jersey, wasn't it? I don't know what I was expecting. I wasn't expecting that shade of blue. I'm not sure what I pictured in my head. But when I saw it, rocked me a little bit.
So I think it should be our away jersey. People are saying the white jersey has to be for a clash of colours and all that kind of stuff. But, like, use it when we can. Bring it in. Bring it back. It's cool.
Home and away. Let's stick with it. We're on a roll.
Green's
overrated.
Whenever I see a new jersey, I go onto Twitter just to make sure that it is nice, because we've had this conversation before. I never know if a jersey is nice or not, but everybody was in agreement last night.
What I didn't like, amazing. I was looking down from the stand at the lads lining up for the anthems, and I don't think the orange boots sit too well with it. Yeah,
right.
It was just Andrew Omobamidele had the blue boots with the kit.
Nice.
Oh, nice.
Sharp.
He knows what he's doing.
Sharp, yeah. The lads just, everybody's just got to roll it out.
A step ahead on and off the field, our Andrew. Yeah. Right, look, we are basking in a bit of glory this morning. I just want to bring you this. Kieran Cunningham tweeted this last night. Against Georgia 4 years ago, Ireland made just 79 passes in the first half. There were 38 passes in the build-up to Callum Robinson's third goal tonight. 1,900 likes on Twitter for Kieran Cunningham's tweet. We played good football last night. We're not getting carried away.
Oh, Jer, come on.
We're not getting carried away.
Away from the old good football debate. I enjoyed the performance.
But it was good football with the result. Because the knock on Kenny was, what's the point of this? There's no end product. And now there's end product and good football. And the crowd shows up.
Yeah, it was good football.
The jerseys look good.
Yeah, you're right. It was good football because we mixed up our game, didn't we? We got on the ball, we made passes, we got the ball back to front early. Jerry, we got the ball in behind them, we turned them, we put crosses into the box. So it was difficult to pigeonhole that performance as, it was just like a possession-based, just looking to keep the ball and slowly move up the field. We mixed it up well for me. We actually played smart football, which I enjoy watching the team playing. So it was good decision making for me from people in possession. You know, we went backwards and sideways and we had to maintain possession, but we hit the front men at times early. We went down the sides in behind them, the pace of Chiodosi, Ogbeni in that first half, Jamie McGrath, who's quick in his feet. Interesting, the dynamic between the front three attack, it worked really well. Callum Robinson playing that central striking position, dropping off the front into those kind of deep pockets. The likes of Chiodosi then and Jamie McGrath looking to drive into the space in behind. Jeff linking up well from that central midfield area. So there was really a lot of positives from the performance. In possession of the football, like you're saying, you know, creating chances, looking like a goal threat, scored more goals. Yeah, it was really good. Really exciting performance in that respect.
Yeah.
I know we've got Nathan on the line, so like we might just throw this to him. But like last night kind of felt like the most positive night at the Aviva. I'm not saying that we're getting carried away with the result in terms of the opposition, but the most positive mood at the Aviva since maybe the playoff win against Bosnia. I know you've worked at both games, Nathan, so I'm not sure what your take on that was.
It was definitely a night to remember atmosphere-wise. They've done a lot around the Aviva, I think, in terms of the pyrotechnics and all that to build an atmosphere before the game. But the fact that it was the sellout, the fact that it was over 25,000 people there, and it was Qatar, and it's a Tuesday night in October. If there was a reason not to go, there were plenty of them last night. But you sensed that when the team came out, when Stephen Kenny came out, that the fans wanted to show Stephen Kenny that they are behind him, that they do believe what he's doing. But I think everyone feels the same thing. They believe what he's doing, but he needs results. And last night they got it, and it was a really effective performance in terms of the style of play. As Kenny said, it was noticeable at times. They were very calm, I thought, at the back. They slowed it down when they wanted to slow it down. They weren't afraid to go long at times and try and stretch Qatar and put them on the back foot. And there was a proper cohesiveness, probably with the exception of maybe 20 minutes before halftime, where the midfield sort of lost the run of itself and Hendrick and Harahan went missing a little bit. And it's not really either of their gigs, that sort of holding role. But the fact that from the first 30 seconds of Bene, when he won that free kick in the first 30 seconds, the crowd were into it. And there was an intensity from the performance that was sort of unrelenting, which means they're the nights that as supporters you love. And I know Kenny you're not don't want to talk really about styles of football or the right style of football or the wrong style of football or all that, but I think that intensity is what fans want more than anything else when they go and watch Ireland, and it's what's been lacking over the last few years. That it's been dull. It has been dull. Friendlies are generally dull, but even the competitive games, not a lot happens. Ireland stand off a little bit. The other team has the ball. Whereas they got at them last night, and then they tried to do the right thing, and they scored that goal that Callum Robinson scored to complete his hat-trick was an exceptional goal with the patience that Ireland showed. The Shane Duffy, like Shane Duffy is the one, just before that bit of commentary, I think I said that all 10 Irish outfield players within 40, 45 yards of the Qatari goal, Shane Duffy just skips around a player. Like, he's confident because he's the other two centre-halves there to do it, plays a nice little ball, and he continues his run as the thing.
Yeah.
Shane Duffy then is the furthest Irish player forward, makes almost a decoy run, and it's just the perfectly way to pass from Jeff Hendrick, who's had one of his best nights in an Ireland jersey, the finish from Callum Robinson. And you know, who knows what goes on at board level, but I think last night and the last 3 days will have gone a long way towards securing Stephen Kenny's future.
And rightly so. Now, here's the thing. We still... my main problem with us having to talk about giving Kenny the new contract over the last while was that we didn't actually get to talk about the games and the football itself. Now we're going to get, hopefully, to talk about the games and the football itself and the evolution in the style and where we're getting to. There's still issues, Kenny, right? Qatar created a fair few chances on the break without actually troubling the goalkeeper that much. They could have, with better forwards or better midfielders, have shot and scored against us. So this is something that we need to work on, that continuing issue that we have there.
Yeah, I think that's the one caveat. I think the kind of the defensive setup in this particular team over the past two games hasn't been kind of stress tested by the quality of the opposition, but that was a pretty miserable performance last night from Qatar. They really surprised me, actually. I was expecting a lot more from them. That said, that's not the takeaway from the Irish performance. But yeah, I'm very interested in terms of the performance against Portugal on the flip side, really, in terms of how strong that defensive setup is, because if there is a small worry over the course of the past two games, it's in terms of just maybe our defensive qualities, particularly in that kind of central area of the pitch, and it not just central midfield but collectively as a unit, in terms of how strong we're going to be. Can we absorb pressure for longer periods of time against far superior opposition, which Portugal will be, and to a certain extent Luxembourg in that final away game? I'm not exactly convinced of it at the moment for the reasons you said, Ger. Just getting caught on transition a number of times over in Azerbaijan, and even last night on a couple of occasions, just kind of vacating that central midfield area, which is understandable because you got some of the likes of Jeff Hendrick, who for me, you don't want to hold him in that central midfield area. You want to let him go and join up with the front three. He's so productive in the final tour, such a good technical player, which we saw last night in abundance. So you actually want to encourage him to get himself a little bit higher up the pitch. That puts a huge amount of responsibility on the shoulders of the other central midfield player. And in Cora Hurahan, for me, again, I don't see somebody who's a naturally holding central midfield player. I think he wants to drop in there at times and spray passes and get their passing going, which I think he can do. I think his distribution is the best that we have in that central midfield there, actually better than Josh Cullen in that respect. But as a comparison to Josh Cullen, I think he's very more tigerish in the tackle. He brings more of a physical element to that central midfield, Josh Cullen, in terms of getting around, making tackles, making interceptions, more of a defensive mindset. So that'll be interesting in terms of how Stephen Kenny sees that kind of partnership, if it is going to be a partnership for the game against Portugal. If he's going to go with the front three and a midfield pairing, who he feels best complements each other in that central midfield.
If Cullen's fit, Cullen plays. He's his first choice, right? So it'll be Cullen plus one. Is there any possibility that actually Hendrick plays in the McGrath role, and that, you know, for games like Portugal?
No, I think Jeff looked at ease in that area of the pitch when we were in possession of the football.
He's a number eight.
Yeah, he is. We're going to play as a two. Yeah, whatever number you want to put at him. But I just feel as if we've got to be realistic in terms of what we can expect of Jeff out of possession. He's not a bit of type to get around and make tackle after tackle.
Okay, so that's why you have McGrath on the team.
Well, yeah, I think it's what happens around Jeff when you haven't got the ball. And I think if you have Jamie McGrath, and I'd agree with you, I think Jamie McGrath's pushed himself into the reckoning for a start against Portugal in one of those front three positions, Callum Robinson another. The debate may well be who's going to have that tour position. Will Alameda come straight back into the team? Centrally, Callum Robinson off one side and maybe Jamie McGrath. You could see that potentially as a front three of the game against Portugal. But I think it's collectively how you how you made the Jeff's performance last night for me, you're looking at it, and we haven't seen that type of performance from Jeff, Nathan, have we, for quite some time, the last two games. We've been crying out for it. People keep referencing back to 2016,
yeah,
but it does seem that long.
Yeah.
It's far too long for a player of his ability. And he's put the type of performance in the last two games, particularly last night, where you look at him now, Jeff, and you think, right, he's got to stay in the team. We've got to keep him in the team. But we have to kind of protect him a little bit when we haven't got the ball. So that'll be the challenge for the management staff in terms of when we lose possession, how do we get players around Jeff to a certain extent and just protect them, you know, and have a really solid kind of defensive base from which to work from. It might mean we actually take a step back. We play more of a lower defensive block. We get the likes of Jamie McGrath, Callum Robinson, those wide positions, and get them to drop in alongside Josh Cullen and Jeff Hendrick in a real kind of narrow midfield four. And that offers a lot more protection to our kind of midfield too. So now you've got a back five unit. You've got a narrow midfield four.
That's what we do in a game against Portugal where we're going to have 30% possession.
Yeah, well, I think so. You have to respect the opposition. You have to respect the fact that... You have to factor in terms of the qualities of the previous two teams we played. You can't be blind to the fact that maybe the small weaknesses but that we saw in those two games.
How does that tally with the desire to press, which like is the thing I think that is kind of innate in us? We want to go and push forward and we want to attack.
Yeah, but you might have to temper that. You might have to temper that because, like I'm saying, you say go and press. So press with the system at the moment. You've got to send your front three players really high up the pitch to go after the opposition defensive line if they're looking to play out. Now, good teams will make little angles, a little combination, and work the ball in around that front three. And once you get past their front three, which you've seen in previous games, that really exposes now your central two midfield players. They've really got to shuffle across the pitch and do a lot of kind of doggy work. There's a lot of defensive responsibility there. And I'm not too sure that Jeff and Josh Cullen, punishment centre midfield, I think that's too much of a stress for them. So for me, the argument would be maybe not such a high press game against Portugal. Maybe drop into a lower defensive blocks. Keep those number 10s, whoever they be, Callum Robinson or Jamie McGrath, Daryl Horgan, whoever they might be, drop them back into a deeper defensive shape and maybe look to play sacrifice a little bit more possession.
Yeah, I understand that. I do, and I can see how that would be the debate. The only thing is that we're trying to build this style where we are a high press, high energy.
Yeah, but don't get fixated on the story we're talking about. What was our percentage against Azerbaijan? What was our possession percentage? 36%. Was it? You know, don't get fixated on. We've got to have a possession base.
No, I'm not fixated on possession. I'm fixated on the press. Yeah,
we don't have to be a high press.
But the press creates the chances. We turn over in a high.
Like, yeah, but you can create chances from a. The press can come 10 yards outside your penalty box. The press doesn't have to come 10 yards outside the opposition penalty box. Yeah, you could argue that's ideal because if you win it back 10 yards outside the opposition penalty box, smaller distance, you've got to travel to the opposition goal and get a shot on target.
Yeah.
But there's an element of risk to that. This is what I'm talking about. There's an element of risk to operate that kind of high press.
Is the long-term reward for trying this against Portugal in a pressurised situation, is the long-term reward for that better than actually... Because we know we can...
It doesn't have to be one or the other, Jared. It doesn't have to be one or the other. Like I said, it's just good decisions, having the team set up, being tactically
astute. So you do both
within the
game.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Lads, you call it yourselves at that particular moment in the game. If you want, we're going to go a little bit braver, higher press, everybody's got to come up the pitch. That means our back five have to get up to the halfway line. That nice compact defensive shape. But yeah, let's go at them. Are we going to have a little bit of joy? If they play through us one or two occasions... Do we recognise that and then drop into that kind of lower defence? That's interesting for me. That's not any type of criticism. That's just as I'm seeing it going down the road against stronger opposition who we're going to be playing against.
I wonder, was one of the things, Kenny, the fact that Portugal basically didn't have a midfield against Ireland in the first time? It might be a little bit unfair in the two that they played there, but they had four attackers on the pitch. Like, if I recall correctly, that they had Bernardo Silva starting, they had Jota starting, they had Ronaldo starting, they had one other starting who I'm forgetting right now, but they definitely had four attackers. Go on, Nathan.
Bruno Fernandes,
sorry, of course. So it was essentially a situation where the Irish midfield weren't going to be outnumbered in that situation. And maybe that's poor management from Portugal to not see that. Maybe they got off the hook a little bit in that regard and their midfield kind of survived that way.
Yeah, but that's when you've got to be bright. You've got to be intelligent. Players got to recognise that on the pitch. You've got to see those pictures on the pitch. And they've got to take responsibility. Can't always be looking to the touchline to your manager and coach and staff. Oh, they've changed. He's playing. We weren't expecting him to play. They've tweaked their formation. What do we do? Do we press? Do we not? And that's when you kind of game intelligence really comes into it. Players recognising the situation, what's in front of them, and actually organising things themselves on the pitch.
But is there a case for the Portugal game that actually Hendrick doesn't play and that you play Jason Knight and Josh Cullen and suddenly you've got high energy there non-stop? And
I think it's an argument for, I'm talking about tweaking it, I think it's an argument maybe for playing a narrow midfield three. against Portugal and sacrificing one of those front three and going with a central two.
Okay, so who'd that be? You said Knight instead of McGrath.
Potentially. So, absolutely. Yeah, that could be an argument. Jamie
instead
McGrath,
of either, maybe McGrath plays. I don't know.
He can play as a number 10, but I've seen the Jamie McGrath, when I've seen him play the League of Ireland football, he can play as a 10 just behind a central striker as well. So what I'm saying, that's actually quite exciting for me. That's not a kind of negative now. I don't want this to turn into a big kind of a negative spiel. It's not. It's actually quite exciting for me because we're working, nothing's changing at the back. We've got that solid defensive three. We got our two wing backs. That's kind of set in stone now. And now we kind of build from that. And we can make one or two little alterations ahead of that and tweak a couple of little things. And fundamentally, the whole shape of the team doesn't really change. The kind of style of football that you're talking about, philosophy, whatever you want to call it, that doesn't necessarily have to change either. You're just making small little adjustments depending on what you're facing at any particular time, and that can change during the course of the game at any moment in time. Players can make those small adjustments themselves.
Yeah, Nathan, what was the post match like? What was the general sense? And because I mean, the vibe around the team was incredibly negative when we were in the midst of COVID. They couldn't train with each other. Players were sitting in the wrong seat in the plane. All of a sudden, we were. The HSE were ringing saying you can't play that player in a big match, and it was a disaster. It was a real complete shit show, and it looked like there was a stench of doom around the place. I presume that has transformed.
Absolutely, and Conor Hourihan was out after the game talking about how it was probably the most enjoyable game he played in an Ireland jersey because of the amount of touches he got, how you were always getting on the ball, and that's as a midfielder what you want, and too often he probably hasn't had that opportunity. And I think Howard's an example of, in a way, how Stephen Kenny's been fortunate with the senior players he's had in the squad, who are all really good professionals, who were never really going to turn on him, whether it's Seamus Coleman, Shane Duffy, James McLean, Conor Hourihan, who I think probably kept that ship just on and kept it away from sinking over the last year, because if any of them had come out and sort of expressed concerns publicly or shown any cracks within the camp, it would have been a huge deal. But I don't think with those four in particular that was ever going to happen. And I think there has been a transformation over this last week. When you think this morning, last week, we were, you know, in the depths of Callum Robinson's press conference, and you wondered what was going to happen over the following days. The squad seemed to have come together. After that, they've come out and protected their mate. He's obviously rewarded them with his goals as well. And Stephen Kenny, I think you could sense there was a relief for him last night. He started talking about the future again. His grand plan, it turns out, was for the Nations League next year, to win the Nations League group next June. Which would,
a bit of a hostage fortune.
A guaranteed playoff.
Wait until the draw gets made and we see who we've got.
Exactly. You don't want to be in a position where actually you've had a decent Nations League campaign. You're going into your final game away at Iceland, needing a win to fulfil this prophecy. But Stephen Kenny's contract is for those games. It's after those matches in June his contract officially finishes. So I think he was just trying to get out ahead of things once again, and maybe even push back that decision to next June as to whether or not he should get a contract extension. But results like this are always going to change the atmosphere, and I think will change the expectation as well, particularly for the game to Luxembourg, that the Ireland now have a goal scorer in Callum Robinson. And of all the players, without going over all ground, of all the players he has missed over the last year, Callum Robinson has been the one. Look at the matches he's played in and look at the Irish performances. He played over in Slovakia, started the game, played almost the full 120 minutes. Outstanding. Plays in Serbia in the 3-2 defeat, you know, comes off with 10 minutes left, but again makes a real impact in that game. Even the match against Serbia, where, you know, unfortunately he can't play in that game, he's not fit enough to start in that game, comes on, he provides the cross, and the one where they kick it off the other player's arse and it goes into the back of net. Every time he plays for Ireland, he's been able to make a big impact. So if they can keep him fit, they can keep him starting, maybe at long last we can, I don't think we're ever going to stop the Robbie Keane conversation because he's never going to be Robbie Keane, but you have a player who might be able to get to 20 international goals, which would be a massive step forward.
Right, here's what's coming up between now and 10 o'clock this morning. OTBAM brought to you by Gillette. Good morning. Start with Gillette. Put your best face forward with their new and improved razors. We're going to talk with Conor O'Donoghue about the potential windfall that Plan B would be for the GAA. One of the knocks on Plan B has been we don't know how much money it would cost is the story that's been put out there, but we believe that the maths stack up, and he's going to explain why. He was on the committee that actually came up with Plan A, Plan B, Option A, B, and status quo. Michael Deignan, the Offaly County Board Chairman, All-Ireland winner, and obviously influential Sunday game analyst, is going to join us at 8:15 to give us his view on it. We'll bring the sports news at Will at 8:40. We're talking about the Premier League, which is back now. We can all relax, exhale, and we don't have to talk about the Ireland team. We don't have to have a civil war. for at least a couple of weeks.
We don't want to relax, really, do we? We want to stay in this kind of euphoric state a little
keep
bit longer.
Keep the foot in the throat.
Yeah, yeah, no, you're
right. What are you trying to do, Jared? What are you trying to do?
And Nicole Turner is going to join us to talk about her silver medal in the Paralympics around about 9:05 this morning. Here's Stephen Kenny talking about Jeff Hendricks' performance. Have a listen.
Well, it really is dramatic. You know, like, I don't mean that, but Jeff, you know, went through a period when you know, when things weren't really happening for him, you know, and so well, but he has every, like, he was absolutely outstanding tonight. Complete all round performance in every facet of the play. His energy around the park, his vision and his first touch and his understanding of his role within the team, and definitely this sort of the space playing with only two in midfield and this with the three wide players, that gives him a lot, suits him that position, and he's really just been, you know, that's one of the best games I've ever seen him play, to be honest, you know. And I think you know, I thought he was really, really, really exceptional to him.
Yeah. Now, the one cloud on the horizon is obviously the club situation at Newcastle, because of the takeover. Jeff Hendrick might not get a game for Newcastle for a while, and his contract is till 2024. So the alternative is that he really benefits from the fact that he's going to be playing with better players.
Yeah.
Well, as was pointed out last night, Jer, I think it was by Gavin Cooney, his new Saudi Arabian owners will be more than happy with his performance against Qatar.
The geopolitics, he'll arrive to work and there'll be a brand new Lamborghini for him.
Yellow. Blue.
Blue. Irish blue. Look, you'd love to see these players playing week in, week out and coming back in form. That was the thing. Yeah,
let's not get too caught up in it, though. You know what I mean? I get a bit tired. Well, he's not getting his game time. I can understand that little bit more, to be honest with you, with the younger players who are kind of still developing, need that kind of game time. The likes of Adam Mead, Aaron Connolly, etc. I think that's more relevant there. For me, the more experienced players are like Jeff Hendrick and one or two others. I never worries me so much
right.
In terms of, no, I'm not getting the game to now, because they're smart, they're experienced.
Up and play.
Yeah, I think so. You get to a certain age, you know your body, you know what you have to do. You might be getting that competitive football week in, week out, but you can tune yourself mentally, you can get yourself in the right place when you come together with the international squad. I think Jeff's one of them.
Okay, that's interesting, because like at various stages, different managers will, I think, invent a narrative. Oh, he's not playing well for his club, and so therefore I'm not picking him. So it's just
too much play on that, I think. Right. Too much play. And I think each player's individually with a different kind of makeup mentally I'm talking about here. Some players will come with the international squad, younger players in particular, if they haven't had, not getting their first team football, it'll affect them a little bit, their confidence. They won't be in the right place mentally where they feel they should be coming into a camp. Others, it's not so much a problem. They'll walk through the doors. Yeah, give me the jersey, I'm kind of ready. So you just got to assess each individual player. But the more experienced players in particular, I don't think that's so much an issue.
Okay, well, one of the things that we wanted to ask you about, Kenny, was how do you take the exactly what we were just talking about there, how do you take the spirit that the camp feels at the moment and apply it to the next camp? Because it's a month away, it's totally different. Everybody goes away, they get into their real world, they get back to the day job, and then they have to come back and go, oh, I remember now, everything is amazing. Well, how do you do that?
It's there. You don't package it away. It's either there or it isn't. It exists or it doesn't. So yeah, like you're saying, we're all on the outside looking in. Nathan, me and you really have no great contacts within the squad. Nobody talks to me these days. I don't get the skinny on anything inside the squad. But yeah, you do get a bit of a sense of that. Like I said before, I've never seen a player come on openly media-wise and criticise his manager or, you know, what's going on behind the scenes. But sometimes you get a bit of a sense of it around the place. Nathan, no better for me, being a journalist. But yeah, you get a bit of a sense. There has been a bit of a more of a coming together of late. There's a decent atmosphere within the squad. So that augurs very well going forward. And I liked the mix last night. I looked at the team last night. A lot of talk about the youngsters, the amount of young players who are being blooded. But that's kind of very well balanced squad at the moment. If you look at experience in the squad, all those youngsters we could look at last night, Nathan Collins coming onto the pitch, fantastic. I must admit, any time a player comes on for his international debut, a kind of, You know what I mean? It gives everybody a surge of electricity looking at it. So great to see him come on. But you've got the experience of Shane, John Egan on the pitch last night, Enda Stevens, Jeff Connor in central mid. These are players of vast experience. Shane's got to come back into the squad as well. So there's just like the makeup in terms of the squad
at
the moment.
They're playing well. You go through those players individually. Yeah. And I'm not going to say it's the best they've ever played for Ireland, but Seamus Coleman, until the injury, looked back to his very best. Yeah. He was making a real impact in attacking positions. Matt Doherty obviously should have twice the 25 caps he has. But again, looks incredibly confident despite his lack of game time. Like Shane Duffy, utterly transformed from where he was 6 months ago. John Egan, rock solid. James McLean, a lot of people thought was
finished.
Gone. That he was finished. He might
get the game
here
and
keep him involved. But, well, this time last year, Enda Stevens was probably one of the few players who was 100% assured of his place in the team. Whereas now Enda Stevens is coming back after 6 months out injured, thinking, well, James McLean has come in, I'm really impressed. And also, if Seamus Coleman is fit, he's probably going to want to play Matt Doherty at left wing back. So there's competition there as well. Like Jeff Hendrick we're talking about. I think actually Hendrick has been really good consistently for Stephen Kenny. Maybe not quite like last night. And then like Callum Robinson maybe is the one who makes everything click. The one thing, Kenny, I wondered, is there a danger of overreacting to last night, because Jeff Hendrick was brilliant.
Bit like you've been this morning.
But he played in a free for Stephen Kenny as to how he gets that balance of what he believes from last night's performance. So Hendrick was outstanding. Yeah. He sort of had a free role to do whatever the hell he wanted. And can Ireland afford Jeff Hendrick to have that role, not even against better opposition, but in a proper competitive game? Is there a midfielder, does Josh Cullen being there allow Hendrick to have that role to pop up all over the park and have a real impact?
Yeah, well, like I said, that is very interesting, because you want to get the best out of Jeff. Now, you've got to give him that freedom, haven't you, to kind of vacate that centre. You can't tell him for the whole 90 minutes, stay behind the ball. We have possession, stay behind the ball in that central midfield area. Just present yourself as an outlet. If the ball is going to come backwards to you, just keep the ball kind of ticking over and just kind of, just efficiently move the ball sideways and around the pitch. You want him at times, encourage him to get beyond the ball, you know, and get in contact with the front three and even get beyond them and even get within 10, 15. Yeah, big difference playing 20, 25 yards from your front three and 10, 15 yards. You get that close to them, you can play like little 1-2s, clever little balls around the corner. We saw where Callum Robinson's third goal, you know what I mean? He got to within 15 yards of Callum Robinson, then he's punching that ball down the sides. So you want him to play in those areas, Nathan, don't you? But I'm talking about experience and players, and Jeff's going to have to show that experience maybe against Portugal a little bit more and pick and choose his moments, really, when he makes those calculated decisions to get ahead of the ball and get himself involved. Because what we can't have is him getting himself ahead of the ball, us giving away possession, and Portugal breaking quickly at us, where he just can't regain that defensive shape, and suddenly big pockets of space are opening up, particularly down the centre of our midfield. So again, that's just game management, Jeff using his experience. And like I said, that performance last night, you really feel as if Jeff's got to stay in the team, the qualities which he showed. Now, Stephen was very complimentary in terms of performance, and I buy into that to a large extent. But when he's talking about every facet of his game, I don't think those defensive attributes which I'm talking about were really tested last night against that Qatar team, but they will be against Portugal. And then we'll see whether we can carry Jeff and that team in a midfield too, and with three out-and-out attacking players playing that kind of high-press game which Jerry's talking about there, or whether we need to kind of modify our approach a little bit, Jeff individually and collectively the team as well.
On the topic of getting potentially a little bit carried away with the events of last night, like, you refer to Callum Robinson, Nathan, as maybe a situation that we now have somebody who can score goals, and he's probably better than everybody else in the squad. But if you look through Callum Robinson's career, while he's been an outstanding player, and this includes for the Republic of Ireland, goals haven't necessarily been part of his game. Goals have been a part of his last two matches for Ireland. Like, he's only 26, and we're going to get a hell of a tune out of him over the next couple of years. But like, is that tune definitely going to involve goals, Kenny? Because it hasn't necessarily been that way for him throughout his career.
Well, I agree with you. I think it's a good point. So it wouldn't surprise me if Callum Robinson goes six games without scoring a goal. Because I think that's how his career's been up until this point. And if you look at the last couple of games, Nathan, five goals, you think, oh, this is absolutely breathtaking. Obviously, the penalty last night. Obviously, everything at the moment, you get into these pieces of striker, everything you shoot on target, you score. So there's the significant deflection for his first goal.
Three out of the four were deflected.
Yeah, exactly. Even that third goal last night was a brilliant goal, that meant number of passes you were taught about, etc. But that's actually a significant deflection off the field. I don't think that shot's going in. It deflects off the
defender
goes past the goalkeeper. But you shoot, you don't score. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. But it's just, you just get a sense of at the moment he's in that, he's just in that space where and everything has happened before it's going into the back of the net. So yeah, I think there is a degree. Let's not get carried away. Now we found ourselves a new Robbie Keane, and we haven't. So I still think there's an onus on other players around the pitch when you set up your team. You know, not to be focusing on Callum Robinson now. Now he's a given for a goal every game. Now that's not going to be the case. We've got to put a team on the pitch where you look around the pitch and think, you know what, we've got goals in different areas. Jamie McGrath, can we get it? You know, can we get a shift out of him? Can we get a goal out of him? Our wing backs. I thought James McLean's second half against Azerbaijan was great, not just in terms of his overall performance, but how he attacked the box, you know, particularly when the ball was down the other side of the pitch, attacking that back post. You can see potentially James chipping in with a goal or two if he plays in that area. Matt Doherty as well, Seamus Coleman. When you play with wing backs, they have to offer a threat in the last third of the pitch in terms of goals. So he's not the answer. Let's not get caught up in thinking we found...
I have one last thing on this for now. Go on, Nathan, quick.
I was going to say, he might be as close as... to an answer as we found, and actually the confidence from this 3-4 day spell that he'll now bring into the next international break. Because you look at his career, the problem is when things have gone well, never got a run. So the last year when he got those couple of goals against Chelsea on two different occasions, 2 weeks later on both times he's back on the bench for West Brom. But actually now he can come into an Ireland camp and go, I'm definitely going to start here. Yeah. I know I'm in that starting 11, and the confidence that brings, I think, maybe transforms him.
I think he's one of those players who would actually benefit from playing a lot of football and actually scoring regularly at championship level. But just in terms of the influence of Anthony Barry, and we've only got a minute for this, and we might come back to it a little bit later on. Can you see the fingerprints of the coaching ticket on the team and stuff that he's brought to it? Like even just the creativity around some of the set pieces. I don't want to like completely overblow it, but it was just interesting to see there was a wrinkle. We switched the ball from one side to the other, and there was a nice little turn that ended up giving, I think it was either John Egan or Shane Duffy, a free header at the back post. The execution at the end wasn't great, but three or four times we actually had two or three players arriving for the ball with a free header and getting in each other's way. That suggests the work is beginning to show dividends.
I'm not too sure, to be honest with you. That might be a bit of a stretch. I just don't know. It's a simple answer to that. I don't know Anthony Barry personally. Again, haven't heard too much feedback in terms of input on the training pitch. So I don't really know is the answer to that. I mean, if you look at the goal last night, the corner kick, wasn't a huge amount of imagination involved in that. Outswing a ball from Conor Hearn into the box. Shane Duffy sticks his head on it. I think it's more so maybe in terms of the general setup of the team. I mean, there's an argument, if there is an argument there in terms of us settling on that back three kind of win-back system. People make obvious comparisons to Tuchel at Chelsea in terms of that particular formation, 3-4-3, which Chelsea employ. Now, I think that's a bit of a jump. Chelsea play that way, we're playing this way. Oh, clearly, you know, Anthony Barry's the common link. I think that's too far of a stretch. In all honesty, so yeah, you would like to think so, that he's been brought in for a reason, I'd imagine, in terms of the qualities which he has as a coach. So clearly I'm hoping he's had an input, as Keith is there, and obviously the other support staff. I'm sure Stephen will say it's a collective effort on their part, but yeah, we're certainly in a good place, and there's a lot of cohesion to the play now, which is good to see. Playing with a real kind of tempo, there's a real kind of template. You're looking at the team now in terms of how we're setting up. You're seeing nice patterns of play now emerging as well. So don't think it's perfect. I think there's actually more to come, which is quite exciting. But yeah, I think we're in a good place at the moment. It's good to see.
Yeah, all right. Kenny's staying with us. Nathan, well done. That was good to get the notion that you're some kind of a curse around the place when you're commentating on the Ireland team, and we always give away last minute winners or just don't win games we should win. But I'm glad that you've managed to kill that rumour.
Finally. I think it's the first Ireland victory we've commentated on in about 2 years. So yeah, Stewie was delighted. Kenny's the curse as well. I see him at all these games also. So you could put it on his shoulders if you want.
It was yours that were the ones that we were...
I'm a denominator.
And the other stat from today in the paper, I don't want to mistake this now, but that was our first penalty since Robbie Brady in 2016.
Yeah,
It was John Fallon, I think, in the Examiner had that.
And to get a penalty last night was some doing, because, dear God, that referee let a lot go.
He should have let that tackle
Qatar
go.
Must have fouled Callum Robinson about 14 times and never got a yellow card. It was a slightly strange refereeing performance. Yeah, first penalty since Robbie Brady. Here's one for you, just to keep an eye on for future Ireland internationals. From what I can tell, I'd love if a listener got involved and was correct me. From what I can tell, no Irish goalkeeper has ever saved a penalty at Lansdowne Road.
Ooh, well, we'll put that out there. 5 minutes past 8 this morning. Nathan, good stuff. Thanks very much for that. We're going to take a quick
break. Thanks, lads.